What is going on, Jet fans? Matt O'Leary back with episode 221 of the Just Jets podcast. Today, we're going to get into the New York Jets getting their week one opponent. As of right now, more schedule information is set to come out later today, so we will keep you updated on the channel. But as of recording this, we only know the New York Jets week one opponent is the San Francisco 49ers. We're going to get into that in a little bit more detail and also kind of talk about how still Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets are being doubted. And I kind of, secret alert, I kind of like it that way. I really do. Recording a little bit earlier in the afternoon on Tuesday than I normally do. So if I miss your voicemail, I want to apologize in advance. We'll try to get you on next week if we can, if it makes sense. But without further ado, let's just hop into this episode as we start with the news breaking early yesterday that the New York Jets will, in fact, be playing the San Francisco 49ers on the road in week one of the 2024 season. Now, this is a really big test for the New York Jets, and there are a ton of storylines in this game. First and foremost, the Jets head coach, Robert Saleh, was the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers for years. It was a very, you know, long time that Robert Saleh was there. He stayed with them through the 2020 season and then became the Jets head coach in the 2021 season. So that is one factor of it. On top of that, you have the Aaron Rodgers and 49ers saga where the 49ers passed on Aaron Rodgers with the number one overall pick in 2005. Then, obviously, they played each other multiple times throughout the regular season and the playoffs. So we're going to go through and discuss the best chances there from that point of view for who is going to be, what matchup, I guess, is the best thing to look at. Is it the regular season success? Is it the playoff success? They have, again, a few different varying degrees of success. So we're going to take a long look at that and just schedule in general after that, what the hardest games are. But just looking at the schedule, as I said, right now, by the teams that the Jets play, I think the 49ers would be the toughest opponent the New York Jets play in terms of roster comparison. So Aaron Rodgers against the San Francisco 49ers, mixed bag, as I mentioned, in the regular season, really, really good. 9 regular season games against the 49ers. In those games, he has a 6-3 record, a 66.2% completion percentage, 2,595 yards, which is 288.6 a game, 20 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, a 107.5 passer rating, which is very, very impressive. So, again, in the regular season, owns him. 20 touchdowns to 2 interceptions in 9 games. That is really, really impressive stuff. I hope that's what we see from Aaron Rodgers in week one. In the playoffs, he's 0-4 against the 49ers in the playoffs, but his numbers aren't really that terrible. They're not great, but they're not abysmal either. 70.7 completion percentage for Rodgers in the playoffs, 5 touchdowns to 3 picks in 4 games, 985 yards, which is 246.3 a game, 7.4 yards per attempt, and a 95 passer rating. So clearly a dip in production in the playoffs, and it's been a little bit since he's played the 49ers. In fact, his last playoff game as a Green Bay Packer was against the San Francisco 49ers, and that was in a loss at home on the frozen tundra, a surprise loss for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. And in this instance, as I said, my preference is usually to go on the side that's, I like the easier opponent, you know, the homecoming game, if you will, against a team that doesn't really have a lot of high expectations or hopes. Instead, the Jets go right out of the gate against the 2023 NFC champions and a team that is, you know, probably going to be in the mix for the Super Bowl yet again in 2024. And I guess the good thing is we'll kind of know right away how legit this Jets team is. If they win the game, that's great. That's awesome. It puts them in a really good spot. If they lose, it's not the end of the world, but you kind of know like how they're matching up against a team that also has Super Bowl aspirations, which that's what the Jets are going into this season with. They have these Super Bowl aspirations, and we'll see how legit they are. Also, something that was noted that I think is important is twofold here. One, the 49ers usually tend to start on the slower side and then hit their stride in the second half of the year. And that's kind of what happened the last couple of years in San Francisco. They finished 12-5 in 2023, but they actually, so this was strange. They started 5-0, lost three games in a row, and then got hot again and went, 7-2 the rest of the way. But if I remember correctly, I think it was in 2022. Yeah, they started 4-4 and then ended up finishing, or 3-4 really, and then they ended up finishing 13-4. After losing to the Kansas City Chiefs in week 7 of the 2022 season, they would not lose again until they played the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship game that year. So they seem to hit their stride, moral of the story, in the second half of their season. So if you are going to get them earlier, great. And also, this is probably the healthiest the Jets will be, right? Week 1, you would think that that's the healthiest you're going to be, each one of these teams going up against each other. Granted, Mike Williams, who is recovering from an injury that was sustained in the middle of last season, there's some debates or questions on how far along he is in the process and if he'll be ready to go. But outside of that, like, you're not, it's not like week 12 when you have the, you know, 11 games, 12 games at that point of wear and tear on your body. You don't really have that yet for the entire roster. So I think you'll take that as a mini win. Again, I'm not saying, oh, it's great, or oh, it's a guarantee, you know, the Jets are going to win the game, but that's a positive spin for me, at least, as someone who didn't really love the idea of going out to San Francisco on Monday Night Football. By the way, back-to-back years, the Jets opened the season on Monday Night Football. Another primetime game. They're going to be a team that's featured very heavily in primetime, it appears, at least here. But just looking at getting that game out of the way, I think that's the toughest team the Jets will play in 2024. At least roster-wise, and who knows, things change, and there's always a team that you never expect to be all that good that you end up playing against and are going to struggle against, and who knows, maybe that's not a team that I list here, but other than that, Dolphins, Bills, Texans, Rams, I would put all those teams in a similar boat of equal playing fields with the New York Jets. The Dolphins and Bills, we could debate who has the best roster there. For the Bills, they've been there, done it. They've won the division each of the last 5 years, so I think they deserve the or 4 years. What do you know, more of this or whatever it is? They've been a very good playoff team, you know, over the last 5 years or so. So they deserve the respect. Dolphins, they made the playoffs each of the last 2 years. I know things didn't really end well for them each of the last 2 years. You know, injuries a part of it, and also kind of, you know, last year things just kind of went off the rails a little bit towards the end. But those are still two quality division teams. And for the Texans, up-and-coming team, they played them last year. Jets beat up on them pretty good last year, but I don't know if that's a lock to happen again. And then the Rams, Stafford's a great quarterback still, even at his age. And yeah, they're going through a little bit of a transition. They lose Aaron Donald, but I still look at them as a team that I think is going to be pretty competitive. So outside of the 49ers, those are probably the four teams on the Jets schedule that are going to pose the toughest threat. And that's not saying that, oh, like the Jets are guaranteed, then they're going to win all these games that go 17-0 or 15-2. No, I'm not going to be here predicting that. I'm sure, you know, later today or tomorrow we'll go through the win-loss thing, but they're going to have the better team on paper a lot. And that's something that we're not really all that used to. And it's something that is going to be exciting. So the Jets, speaking of which, so I just kind of said that I expect them to have the best roster in, like, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Maybe 11 of their games this year, of their 17 games. So even with that, the Vegas line right now on the Jets is 9.5. And there's some debate on whether or not you should take the over or the under, just like, you know, all these teams. But Colin Cowherd is definitely betting the under. In fact, says there's no shot that they are going to hit the over on 9.5 wins. So I'm going to play the clip and I'll react to it and then we'll do your voicemails.
Criminally low. Jets, I'd go under 9.5. Their offensive line is either rookies or old guys. How many offensive linemen do they have in their prime that are excellent? One, and he's always hurt, Elijah Vera Tucker. They're very dependent on one excellent running back. Sala is a defensive coach. Aaron is a pretty prickly old quarterback with maybe one great year left. I think he's absolutely past his prime. Sala's 18-33. Again, tell me the offensive linemen who are in their prime and elite. He's a 40-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury.
All right, there you go. So down on the offensive line now, Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses clearly at 33, not in their prime. Olu Fashanu, we're all excited about. I think that him as depth is fantastic. Not that we could say that Joe Tippmann's going to be a star, but necessarily I hope he is. But in year two, we're comfortable with him going into it. And John Simpson, I think a lot of people view as a solid option. So, yeah, they do rely on veteran offensive linemen, which is a fair criticism of the Jets, which is why so many wanted them to take an offensive lineman in the first round, which they did. I think in comparison to where the line has been the last 2 years to where it is now is night and day different. And he did. Garrett Wilson's name was not mentioned once. Bringing in Mike Williams' name was not mentioned. Drafting Malachi Corley was not mentioned. Having a top three defense each of the last 2 years was not mentioned. Having a star in Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams, Quincy Williams, C.J. Mosley, Jermaine Johnson taking steps. That was very dismissive. But I'm not coming on here to keep get riled up and say Colin Cowherd's a bozo. I can't believe this or that. He said, fine, please. I hope people are lining up to continue to doubt Aaron Rodgers and this New York Jets team. If there's anything I've learned from Aaron Rodgers is that he folds easily. He doesn't like when people doubt him, or he definitely doesn't like to prove people wrong. That's not his thing. So keep doing it. It's going to go well. If you keep continuing to put down Aaron Rodgers and say he can't do something, then he's going to just say, you know what? I can't do it. So maybe they're onto something. Maybe Colin Cowherd and everybody else is onto something. I get he's coming off the injury. I do. I'm not saying he's going to be a top five quarterback in the league. I don't think that's a fair or reasonable expectation. Do I think he could be the 10th to 12th best quarterback in football this year? I do. And if that's the case, do I think the Jets are clearing 9.5 wins? By the way, they hit 7 last year, 7 with Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, and Trevor Siemian with a worse offensive line, with a significantly worse offensive line. Keep hating, please. Just keep hating. Let's get to your voicemails now. We're going to get things rocking first with Max from New Jersey, who wants to talk about 7 expectations. Here we go. 7 things he wants to see from the Jets in 2024.
This is Max Atoyes from Holden, New Jersey, and the schedule release is coming out 7 days. Here are my 7 expectations I want the Jets to achieve this year. So I want a quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, or whatever quarterback we have, 30 touchdowns. I think we need to have a good quarterback. We need to throw at least 25, 30 touchdowns. So I feel like the last couple of years, we have bad quarterback play from Zach Wilson. Second expectation, I want Garrett Wilson to at least have 1,000 yards and like 6-7 touchdowns, because I'm not saying Garrett Wilson was bad last year. He was held back by quarterback play, but I think Garrett Wilson could do better with, he's going to definitely do better with Aaron Rodgers. Third, want the Jets to make the playoffs. This is a playoff or bust here. We have a really good Jets team. We need to make the playoffs. Otherwise, Sal is going to get fired. My fourth expectation, I hope that the Jets do not collapse this season. Last few years, that'd we started nice. Really good in the season. Then we collapsed. And then my last 3 expectations would be fast. Fifth expectation, I want our running backs, I want our offensive linemen to do better. I don't want our offensive line to give up sacks, because I feel like the last 2 years we've been giving a lot of sacks. And then my 6th expectation that I want the Jets to have is I want our running backs to get like 1,000 yards. So I feel like I can't remember the last time the Jets had a good run, like a good running back. I mean, Breece Hall is good. I think he's a bad running back, but we haven't had a good like 1,000 yard back in like forever. And then my seventh expectation is I want Salah to have better in-game decisions. I feel like Salah cost us, I don't know, a couple games last year with his 4 o'clock management. And I think Salah should improve in that area. What's your thoughts on this? And go, Jack.
Yeah, so Breece missed it by 6 yards last year, the 1,000 yards. But you got to go to Chris Ivory in 2015 as the last 1,000-yard rusher. I think if Breece Hall is healthy, I think 2,000 all-purpose yards are on the table for him. Garrett, with Aaron Rodgers as the number one target, I would think 1,300 yards and 7 touchdowns is on the table. That's subject to change. I'm going to go through at some point in the offseason and do my numbers for every guy and give you a final total, but I don't think that's a crazy thought at all. Breece, again, should be around 2,000 all-purpose yards, over 1,000 on the ground, probably have another 700 receiving. So that's something to be excited about. The line should be significantly better. Going from Mekhi Becton, Duane Brown, Carter Warren, Max Mitchell as your tackles to your top three being Trent Williams. Not Trent Williams. I wish Trent Williams was the New York Jets offensive lineman. That would be amazing. Tyron Smith, excuse me. The T always gets me at the beginning of that for some reason. I've done that before. Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses as your tackles with Olu as your first guy up. Elijah Vera Tucker back and playing at the guard spot, adding John Simpson. Simpson, even though I do think he's probably the weakest link of the starting batch, is an upgrade over Laken Tomlinson and Joe Tippmann starting at center. I think their line will be much improved. So I think you're pretty much there with the... I think you're pretty much there with your predictions and your guess or expectations. I think the Jets hit them all. No name on this next call. Instead, wants to talk about how many wins the Jets are going to have.
Hey, Matt. Love the show. It's my second or third time calling. Anyway, about this Jets offseason, I think that the Jets realistically have come way ahead of their... They drafted way ahead of where they should have because Aaron Rodgers went down. And the fact that they had such garbage quarterback play and won 7 games, I'm going to say it now. Jets win the AFC East 12-5. Let's go, Jets. The haters hate.
I like 12-5. I think 12 wins should be enough to win the division. I think 11 wins, honestly, gets the division. Whichever team between the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins gets 11, I think wins the division. And then I think you'll see another at 10 wins and another at 9. I mean, when looking at it, again, tomorrow or later, I guess, I really want to go into a little bit more detail on which games I think they could win and which games I think they could lose. But let's say... off the top of my head, we'll go, let's try to find the 5. We'll say split with Buffalo and Miami. So that's 2 right there. Maybe San Francisco, the Rams, and then a random one. I don't know. Like, there's always a game you think you're going to win that you don't. Maybe it's like Pittsburgh on the road. Their defense just has a good game or something weird. I don't know. Again, no one expected the Jets to lose to the Raiders last year in season. It happens. These things unfortunately happen, so it's not going to be that simple. But yeah, I think 12-5 is optimistic, but not an unrealistic expectation for this New York Jets team. I think it's something that we could see happen here. Am I going to end up landing on 12? I don't know. I think I'm probably going to be at 11 if I had to guess, but... 12-5, sign me up, dude. I think that is a really good number. Let's go to Peter from the beautiful Hudson Valley.
Hey, Matt. It's Peter from the beautiful Hudson Valley calling in this week on Monday, a little after 8:30 p.m., with a flurry of Jets draft pick signings. Holy cow. mean, it was announced earlier today that Olufashana was the first to sign. And then within about an hour, my alerts kept coming up on my phone with the Jets logo that almost every other draft pick had been signed, except Malachi Corley for some reason. I hope it's not quote-unquote offset language holding that one up. Kidding, of course. But probably by the time this call airs with your Just Jets episode on Wednesday, I will presume that Malachi Corley will also be in the fold, which will be a record for Joe Douglas, getting the draft class signed within a day or two or 3 days at most. I've never seen him do that so far. But usually the Jets are ahead of the curve in getting their draft pick signed, so I was wondering what was going on there, but I'm glad to see that that's happening. But I did want to call in and comment regarding John Franklin Myers. And, okay. Going back, to the trade to Denver. I think one thing that Joe Douglas has now learned as general manager is that it may not have been a good idea to pay him mid-season like he did a few years back. Also knowing that he was going to have to eventually give Quinnen Williams a new contract. And obviously now that they also just traded for Haason Reddick with his contract and so on. And that the 2022 draft class, you know, Sauce and Breece and Garrett and Jermaine are all going to have to get paid upcoming. It, you know, starting to put the Jets in a bind. So hopefully they won't do something like that in the future. And I think that is the main reason what the sticking point, you know, as to why they could not keep JFM around. I guess he just really didn't want to renegotiate that deal and, you know, spend some of that money into bonus or something like that. So let me know your thoughts on that point overall. And if you, at this point, if you think any time that they renegotiate contracts, that it's going to happen probably in the off season, you know, before things happen, hopefully not 11th hour like Quinnen Williams' contract was. But hopefully they do get a lot of the upcoming contracts, you know, done in short order when those are in need of being done. And as always, go Jets!
There you go. Thank you so much for the call, as always, my friend Peter from the beautiful Hudson Valley. So, interesting point. As of recording again, Malachi Corley not signed. Am I worried about it? No. I do think it is interesting that they got it done so quickly. As you mentioned, that's not something that's the norm for the New York Jets. Usually what they do is they like to wait it out. Sam Darnold ended up reporting late. Zach Wilson ended up reporting like a couple days late. So unfortunately, these things happen with negotiations on rookie deals. Corley, I fully expect to be done at some point relatively soon, but he's the only one from the draft class who has not got signed yet. As far as contracts being redone, I agree, in the offseason makes the most sense. I would think there are maybe extension candidates, if anything, rather than redoing contracts. Names that pop out: Michael Carter, the slot corner, DJ Reed, Tyler Conklin. I think those would really be the names. At this point, we could still see something get potentially done. I'm looking at the Jets cap right now. According to this, I hate that Over the Cap uses a logo that's two logos old now at this point. Still haven't updated it. If they restructure... Also add Reddick in as an extension. So Reddick, Reed, Conklin, Michael Carter would be the four names that I would give you as potential extend guys. Will it work? I don't know. Will they do all of them? Not sure. I don't think they do all, but I wouldn't expect a whole lot of like, hey, we find out that so-and-so restructures their deal, adds a couple void years, whatever. I'd be surprised if that's the route that we see go here at this point. Now let's close out the show with our guy PG from Long Island, who wants to talk about the 53-man roster predictions that I made.
Hello, Matt O'Leary. This is PG from Long Island.
How are you, sir?
I want to talk about your YouTube way too early 53-man roster projection. I love these, by the way. I think it's a great idea.
Thank you.
I love the way it creates a little debate and some intelligent thought about the roster. As far as yours go, a couple things. One, you had 9 offensive linemen, 8 defensive linemen. I think each of those will probably be 10. I also think that you had seven cornerbacks. I don't think they keep seven. Remember, Hardy has been listed as quarterback for the last few years, cornerback, and you know, he's really a special teams player. Love to see Stinger make the roster. I think it's more likely that he ends up as a practice squad player, unless he, you know, the hype is there, and you know, he's such a fast learner, he can make the roster. Love to see that. But anyway, a couple things. Offensive line, he only had one interior backup, Spicer, who I think is good, but you know, maybe Max Mitchell could be an interior backup.
That was my thought. I don't know.
I'm not sure he even makes a roster. I think maybe this kid Latham, undrafted free agent, makes it. But they need somebody else in there, I think, in the internal, as far as the backup on the inside line on the offense. On the defense, my biggest disagreement with you is in the fact that you have them cutting Clemens. I don't see it. I think that, first of all, they're going to keep 10. You have the undrafted free agents from Miami, Michigan, and UConn. Maybe one or two of those could make it, but they really have to play well. And remember, Clemens is coming into his third year in the NFL. That's where a lot of people make the jump. I know he has underperformed. I agree with that. And he's also had some questionable decisions within the bird to the opposing players, opposing fans, actually, trying to get into a fight with a player in the tunnel. I mean, come on. You're a professional. Act like a professional. So I can understand, you know, Clemens is not the, you know, his status is not the highest right now. But again, talented player. I love the way he walked into the last year with the seal in his hand. He's a character, but he's got to be professional.
He got cut off there. I think, speaking on Clemens, can he make this roster? Sure. It wouldn't be the most surprising thing if he made the roster. I carried 9. And I had Taylor and McGregor making it. Maybe they only keep one of those two as UDFAs and make Clemens. He is absolutely someone that I would think makes it. Or if they want to carry 10 defensive linemen, maybe you don't carry Jason Brownlee, and then you add Michael Clemens in that mix. Fair to bring up the interior offensive line depth. That's something that I was worried about. Again, I kind of just did it based on what they have now. We could have talked about like bringing back a Connor McGovern or signing an external free agent, but this was kind of just looking at who they have now. But you mentioned it, and they did it for a game last year. They played Max Mitchell on the interior of the offensive line, so maybe that's something that they view him as. It's still not great, though. You're right. I would like another interior guy outside of Wes Schweitzer. For me, with the rest of this, I had on defense, I'm looking to pull it up and reading it off here. 6 corners, 4 safeties: Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, Michael Carter, Oliver, more for special teams, Eccles, and Stiggers were my 6 corners, with Clark, Adams, Davis, and Key as my safeties. And Stiggers can maybe play a little bit of safety. Maybe Key makes the practice squad, doesn't make the roster at first. That's something that's probably on the table, I would imagine. But again, I'm kind of just more a fun exercise to look at where things are currently before the end of that second wave of free agency that you get between the end of the draft and the beginning of training camp. So this is that's just, in my opinion, where things stood at the time. And we'll see, if and how that changes going forward. So, guys, really excited to get into the Jets 2024 schedule. It feels like it's getting, you know, all that much closer. So I'm excited for this season. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any content throughout the 2024 Jets season. Big things coming. I'm Matt O'Leary. I'll catch you guys next time.